Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
Well, we start things off each and every week with Marco's money player here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jaguars lose it 27-7. I'm guessing the money, I'd be surprised if the money player is on the offensive side of the football. But maybe,
you should be surprised.
Okay.
But this guy, I think you actually can consider him a defensive player.
Special teams.
Mr. Anger.
The punter going to.
Yes, sir. Right. I'm going punter. I mean, however,
the banger.
I'm sorry. You know, hopefully the guys aren't listening. I'm picking a punter, you know, as a meter money player. But that was probably one of the brightest spots of the game. His ability to be able to back the team up, to give the defense an opportunity to stop him, which
they gave a chance.
They didn't do a whole lot of.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There was a chance.
But the chance didn't come through for the Jaguars. All right, let's get you updated on some scores around the National Football League. Games going on right now. Seattle leading Dallas 10-7. There have been some surprises here in week two. A blocked punt recovered for a touchdown by Seattle. Tony Romo's found Miles Austin on a 22-yard touchdown as well in that one. Washington leading at St. Louis 14-3. Fumble return for a touchdown there. And Robert Griffin III, RG3, a 5-yard run, capping a 10-play, 80-yard drive. Jets lead at Pittsburgh 7-6. Mark Sanchez to Santonio Holmes on the touchdown. Steelers may not be the Steelers of old here. It's kind of Big Ben against the world right now. Roethlisberger's first drive was very good, 7 of 8 for 93 yards, first two drives, and just a one-point deficit right now, 7-6. San Diego leads Tennessee 14-0. Phillip Rivers has thrown two touchdown passes in the early goings there, and tonight it'll be Detroit and San Francisco. Want to hear from you, Jaguars fans, your thoughts on the game, also on your experience with some of the new changes with the Jaguars today. We saw the prowl kind of rolled out with the whole video experience and the military escort for the players, and then also the bell being rung at the beginning of the fourth quarter. I want to get your feelings on that. Thought it was kind of a neat moment, and I had one tweeter tweet to me that he wasn't too big a man to admit that he kind of broke down when he heard
had that
thing.
Little tears in the corner of his eye.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, you know, I think that could be a.
I'm sure it's a very special moment for everyone. It would get even more exciting as it comes to be something that they're used to doing.
Yeah, and I some of those neat traditions, I think there are a few in Jacksonville that more can be developed as we go on. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. I want to remind you that you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. All right, time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. The only injury really of note, Blaine Gabbert. After the Jaguars have been so racked by injuries, they don't really have any except for the quarterback. Leg injury, no idea what it is exactly or how severe it is. Again, if you want to play amateur doctor and say, well, he played through it for a while and wasn't laboring, you walk back out of the locker room with the ice, you would think that's something he'll play with next week.
Surprisingly, it's a lot of times when guys do that, they come back after getting examined and it's a lot worse and they end up out for a while. So hopefully it's nothing that's too serious that's going to, you know, impede his progress, because he is making progress. Tough one today, but I still look forward to Blaine getting better.
All right, we'll take time out. Your calls when we come back. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. We're back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Your calls and tweets when we come back right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. You can call 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351, or tweet to me at Culpepper and get your thoughts in here. You can visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue baskets, slow-smoked pulled and sliced meats basket, just $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. Marco? Ready to take some calls here?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll start it off with our guy, Sakib, on the south side. who frankly I'm a little bit worried about already, having not heard anything about what his thoughts are. But Saqib usually takes losses pretty hard. Saqib, how you doing?
You know, I don't – you got to understand, I'm going to be at the Jaguars game no matter what, okay? I'm going to be there all the 10 games. To me, what I'm mad about, I'm okay with last week. I'm okay with us losing the game. I'm okay with that. I know it's gonna hard, I know it's kind of harsh to say, but first home game of the year, the fans were incredible, okay? And you just put in the performance that I have personally. I'll be 29 years old next week. I have never seen the Jaguars do at home. I don't understand.
Nobody has ever seen the Jaguars be so inefficient on offense, because they set a franchise record for the fewest yards today. I mean, you know, it's literally.
Is it Blaine Gabbert? Is it the whole offense? What do you think? I don't understand why we in Jacksonville can't find somebody to play football. I don't understand. Am I just over talking it, or
step into our office. Because you're asking legitimate and important questions. Why in the world was it so bad, right? I mean, that's the...
First game in your own house, and you're getting blown out.
First of all, let's start with this. In my opinion, you have to start with the Texans are a better team, right? They're a Super Bowl contender, as you said, Marco. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars are hoping to be a playoff contender, be around the...
Still have a winning season.
Season.
5-11, let's just get to 8-8.
Right. The Texans have been... They won the division last year. They're an established team. They have veterans everywhere. No place do they have a rookie starter.
Can I ask you guys one more thing before I leave? Okay? As a fan, what should I do? I mean, should I just be like, hey, you know what? Just support them no matter what? I mean, I am, but I understand the fans were frustrated. I was sitting in section 436, okay? And fans were just going crazy.
I get it.
And I was going crazy.
If you weren't frustrated today, you don't care about this team.
I mean, what did Mike say? I haven't heard what Mike said.
He was very disappointed. I mean,
I hope they get better next week. I really do. I really want us to get better, but
can I give you a little bit of I don't know, call it like verbal Prozac here that'll help you kind of chill just a little bit with this, because you know, it's fine to have these kind of manic feelings. That's what being a fan's all about, you know, fanatic, mm-hmm. right? The high highs when they win and the lows when they lose, and as you know, at some point, maybe it's a 24-hour rule, maybe it's when you wake up tomorrow morning, maybe it's after dinner tonight, maybe it's not until kickoff on Sunday. I don't know, whatever it is for you. You know, you turn the page on the thing. But here's the thing. We've seen two different, very different performances from the Jaguars so far this year. Neither one of them, you can't say that either one of them for certain is what the Jaguars are, right? They've lost both of them. That hurts. But neither one of these games, you could say, that's who the Jaguars are and this was an aberration. No, this is who the Jaguars are and that was an aberration. We don't have enough yet. So what do you do from a fan standpoint? Just ride the wave, baby. You know, listen, that's part of this process.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to make a decision now about what this team is going to be at the end of the year. Don't make me sing, Aerosmith. Life's a journey, not a destination.
Well, I said it in when it got the thing started, is that this is going to be a team that's going to be ascending during the course of the season. You're not going to see his best football right now. It's going to be later, in a few weeks. When Houston sees them in November, this is going to be a different team. You know, you'll probably get some more guys back from those injuries. Yep. Blaine will have gotten some more some more plays. As long as MJD doesn't get injured, he'll be a better running back. So all these things will play into a better football team at the latter part of the season than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the list of Jaguars inactives today, I think all but one of them have started for the Jaguars at one time or another. Mm. So, you know, the injuries that they had today – And let me grab this inactive list here.
And all that affects the ability, the coach's ability, the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, because now you don't have certain confidence in certain guys.
Or guys who haven't worked in certain roles.
So you can't do everything. Yeah. Even, like I said, even you can tell defensively where those linebackers were in their drops. These guys were dropping almost 15 yards. I mean, a first down is at 5 yards. They're standing behind the first down marker. That's where they get all those. Yeah. That's why no passes to the wide receivers, because the running backs and tight ends wide open right in the middle.
Let's run down the list. Darryl Smith, inactive, starter, maybe the best defensive player you have.
Yep.
Maybe. Well, certainly along with Posluszny and Cox.
I'm going straight Darryl.
Yeah. All right, so.
GT, baby.
Austin Lane, defensive end, right, has started for this team.
Yeah, but I don't think a big difference maker.
Hasn't been. Again, the facts are he has started for this team. Rashad Jennings has started for this team.
Difference maker.
Derek Cox. Difference maker has started for this team. Evan Britton, starter. Cam Bradfield, starter. All of those guys who are inactive, the only one of that group who hasn't been a starter is George Selfie, who was inactive.
Right.
So all these seven of the eight guys who were inactive for the Jaguars, guys who have been starters.
Yeah, and I'll say it would have been tough to beat the Houston Texans with all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a new coach. New scheme. Only thing that's pretty much that's constant is what we had from defense last year, and not having, you know, significant parts of that defense back. It definitely hurts you.
All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go from the south side up to a little further north. Let's go to Buffalo and check in with Junior, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Junior, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing today? I wish it could have been a better outcome, but the phrase today is going to be disappointment. Yeah. We, as a Jaguar fan, we're hoping for a better turnout as the team today, being the home opener. Seems like every time Jaguars, we have, especially fans, there's a big game coming up, and the fans are ready for it at home, and we get a disappointing loss. I just hope that it's not going to take as long in the season for this team to gel and find their identity. It just seems to me that I see other teams getting their identity built, and I've been waiting for an identity for the Jaguar for a while now.
Well, see, I thought we started to see some of that last week. You know, I thought last week was the start of building some identity for this team. And let's be honest, unless you have a dominant defense, most of the time when fans and media talk about identity, you're talking about what a team does on offense, right? And I thought last week we started to see some of that. This week? Boy, if this is the identity, you're in big trouble. I don't think this is the identity of the offense. I think this is a bad week and a bad matchup and, you know, kind of a perfect storm of things that happened today. Obviously, it's, you know, it's a record worst offensive performance from a yard standpoint. And I agree with you, Marco, that I think this is a team that the arrow is going to be pointing up as the season goes on. But the other side of this is if you looked at the schedule – when the season began and just took the first five games before the bye week, Vikings, Texans, Colts, Bengals, Bears. Texans would be the one game you'd think, boy, it'd be hard to pick them to win that game. Vikings, you could certainly pick them to win. Colts, you can pick them to win. Bengals, you could probably, it's at home maybe. And Bears, kind of a 50-50 situation. This is the one game that I just didn't see them taken early in the season, particularly with the injuries or without it, and with the injuries, it's made it that much uglier.
Just in a different place than the Jaguars.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm hoping for that. Like I said, I'm hanging on there. You know, it's hard being a small contingent of Jaguar fans in Buffalo country, but I always hang in there for my team. I've been a fan for like 16 and a half years. I do go to games down in Jacksonville, so I'm one of those fans. I'm not throwing the towel yet. It's just so frustrating when we're right there and the fans are pumped for it and we just get that disappointing loss. But this season's gonna go forward.
All right, I appreciate the call in Buffalo, Junior. Mm-hmm. Take care. Thanks for the call from near the Great White North anyway. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go from up north to the north side, and Rich is on the north side up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Rich, how you doing?
Rich.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Basically, to answer my man's question, the guy who came on first, you know, about what are we doing or whatnot. The only consistent thing we've been doing is been keeping Gene Smith with all these picks that he's been getting. He's even coherent with national media with Marv Albert saying, we haven't had a shining star first round pick in the past 6 years, and it's the same consistent thing. Jaguars win when they're supposed to lose when they're supposed to win.
Well, I think you're totally off on that, Rich. This was a game they were supposed to lose, and they did.
Well, I mean, looking at last week with the kind of scoring and, you know, clock management and how Blaine looked, you know, on the line and, mm-hmm. you know, shouting out signals and pointing out to the defense.
Looked good last week, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like Mark Brunell of old a little bit. You know, was taking hits and stuff like that. You know, looking like a little coherent Mark Brunell. But then you get out there today, I don't know if the crowd got him stirred up and, you know, he had a couple of miscues here and there. But it just, you know, it's second year, I can understand that. But, you know, it's tough to go to work. And they say, you know, Carolina looked good, didn't they? I mean, you know, because of Newton and RG3 looked good, didn't he? And, I mean, you hear all these names of these quarterbacks, you know, on and on and on, and they have to swallow it and say, well, Blaine's going to get the, you know, we said that with Leftwich, we said that with
Rich, Garage. Rich, I agree, but listen, let's not take the simpleton's approach to this, to analyzing every game and saying it's all about the quarterback. Again, Gabbert didn't play great today, but this wasn't one of those games where you go, boy, what's that quarterback doing out there?
It's second year. I understand that.
And not just that. I mean, Gabbert had some bad games last year. Mm-hmm. Marco, yeah. did this look like a game where he wasn't as good as he was last week, but... Well, what do you think of the quarterback?
Well, I don't think it was so much as of Gabbert. It was the coaches not having confidence in those guys that are blocking. But there's things you can do. I was a little concerned that I didn't see any type of movement to try to get the ball down the field. You got these wide receivers that can, you know, Blackman and, you know, Robinson and Shorts. These guys can make some plays down the field. But we knew that there was going to be an issue with the protection. So why not slide the line a little bit here and there, get a move? And that wasn't done the entire game. And that, to me, it wasn't Blaine's fault. It's the play. That was a play calling issue.
That part I agree with. I would like to have seen the pocket rolled a little bit more often, mm-hmm. to try to get him some time. Because when you don't have confidence in an offensive line, then with an athletic court, move him around a little bit. I agree with
running
that.
Running something with Mojo in there, you can run some boot passes or whatnot and getting the ball to the tight end. I mean, it just was different ways to be creative, to be a more aggressive offense, and I didn't see that in the play call.
Yeah, that I agree with. Your point about trying to get deep, I think it's just tougher to do that when you know, again, the Texans could really pressure the quarterback. That's a very good defense. They were number two in the NFL last year in defense. I also didn't see a lot of guys getting separation. I mean, this was – whether it was that they got down in the tooth or whatever else after a kind of a rough start. And again, I'm sitting here in Jaguars Central watching it on the TV monitor. You get a chance to see a little more with your own eyes.
But you're correcting what you're saying.
Not a lot of separation out there.
You're correcting what you're saying.
Just not a very good game for the Jaguars offensively. And I know we've said that a lot. And again, I get it. If you're a fan and you say, here's another bad performance by the Jaguars offense and the frustration comes, but it's not just all about the quarterback.
Not at all.
Coaches
even have to take a part in this one,
yeah,
I believe.
Agree. All right. Rich, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Lucas in Maryland, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Lucas, how you doing?
But anyway, I'd like to go ahead and point out some things. One, people on Facebook or whatever are posting, oh, real fans don't boo their team. Real fan, no. You know what? A real fan lets their team know, you know, hey, you need to step it up. You can't sit there and be like, oh, you know, we played hard, we just got blown out. No, that's unacceptable, you know. And you know what? I live in Maryland. I got season tickets 5 rows up from the field. So I don't want anyone not to call me a real fan whenever I'm flying down for the games. But you know what? If the team deserves to be booed, they deserve to be booed. We were only a couple of plays from that being an entirely different game. You make a couple tackles, you make a couple catches, make a couple throws, then it's a whole another game. So obviously, you know, they need work, and I hope, you know, we can see more from them, but maybe Smith and Cox can do something. I don't know. This is just embarrassing to be a Jaguars fan.
All right, Lucas, thanks for the call.
Well, at this point, my concern would be now, Smith being out so long, his conditioning. I mean, as effective as we want him to be on defense, he hasn't been out there now. It's almost a whole month now, and he hasn't played. So now, even when he does come back, how effective will he be? And even in that case, will he be able to help the defense?
Again, I think this is largely a weathering the storm start to the season for the Jaguars. You've got a new offensive system. You've got new coaches. You've had all these injuries in the preseason. Get to the bye week. And, you know, again, 2-3 at the bye week would look awfully good right now, wouldn't it?
It would. But it's going to be some tough games. I've seen Cincinnati play. They got a tough defense. Yeah. I've seen the Bears play. I mean, they have some weapons. You're going to have to score against these teams. And then Indianapolis, you see them out there, and it's not going to be a thing where you're going to just be able to play conservatively. That first half, offensively and defensively, you don't see a lot of blitzing on defense. You don't see a lot of this game, not a lot of going down the field. Regardless of who's out there, you're going to have to go ahead and put it out there and try to win these games.
You need a pickup truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take time out. More of your calls when we come back. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you like. Want to hear from some Jaguars fans about their in-stadium experience not related to what happened on the field. I don't think anybody really enjoyed that too much, except for maybe if the Anger family was in town watching Brian punt. He did a heck of a job today. 800-355-NFL1, or you can tweet it to me at Cole Pepper. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. 800-355-NFL1. Lines are loaded up. Want to see the Jaguars at the best price possible? The Coin Toss Ticket Promotion offers fans the ability to purchase up to 4 tickets, possibly singles, or in odd assortments for only $20 each. No guarantees of location or whether the tickets will be singles, paired, or nearby each other. It's all a toss of the coin. For more information on Coin Toss Tickets, call the Jaguars Ticket Office at 633-2000. 800-355-NFL1, the number to call right here. Let's get back to some more calls. Let's go to Paul on the south side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Paul, go ahead.
Paul.
Go ahead, Paul. Paul is gone. Matt in Arlington, you step right up. You're on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Oh, good, Matt.
I didn't get to see much of the game. I was actually working at the stadium today. But, I guess, working at the stadium, you hear a lot of stuff going on. You hear a lot of people talking and stuff. And I think it's way too early to, even push panic button. I mean, it's two games into the season. I mean, there's a lot of hope for this team. I mean, I've seen a lot of improvements, maybe not today, but throughout the preseason and, last week, I saw a lot of improvements. And my original prediction for the team was 11-5, and I'm sticking by it. People may call me crazy, but, I mean, I see a playoff team out of this group. And, I think it's all about them. Just they got to get it together.
You're going to be out on a limb with a lot of folks saying 11-5 at a playoff team here. Winning 11 of the next 13 games is now your prediction. Again, I think that's a little high for them, but I think this is a team that can be, in the month – Marco, in the month of December, in the situation where they have playoff scenarios being printed out by the NFL, if this happens and this happens and this happens, that sort of thing, that's where I think they need to be this year to take that next step.
Yeah, if they're just even in that mention after four losing seasons, it's about time to just be close, be in a hunt and a running at the end of the season. That would be something that you could be hopeful for this season.
And any word on Gabbert, why he was pulled out at the end of the game?
Yeah, leg injury, upper leg. We're not sure if hip, groin, what it was, but it was being iced during the game on the sideline. We don't have anything more specific than that, and we don't know anything about his availability going forward. Again, we're playing amateur doctors and saying that just from the looks of things, we figure that he'll probably be out there again during the Jaguars game against the Colts on a week from today.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, man, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Brian in Ponte Vedra. Brian, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, Cole, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And the other gentleman, thank you for putting on such a great presentation.
Thank you.
And I think that the play-by-play was excellent because I was remanded to listen to it by radio, and the coverage was fabulous. But one of the greatest things, and I'm not really a big football fan, I'm a surfer and a base jumper and parachutist and all that kind of stuff. But I ran into a group of men. They were young men, 18, 19 years old, and at a filling station. And they all had on Jaguars jerseys and beads and everything. And they are true fans. And I asked them what they thought about the loss that the team suffered today. And they said, oh, that's no big deal. We're fans. We don't care. We're going to back them up no matter what. And that's a young crop of young people that are going to the game, and sticking by their team. And I just think it was a great statement, and I wanted to express that feeling to you that, you know, that other people that analyze a game, some of them have passion, some of them don't, some are willing to give up, but these young kids are not willing to give up.
Now, I think you have seen through in the – again, a post-game show is 75% details of the game, 25% big picture most of the time. And so if you want to take the big picture and really step back, I think Shad Khan buying the team and some of the changes that have been made around here, I think there's a huge amount of enthusiasm for what's going on. Ultimately, though, enthusiasm at some point, and I'm not saying that it's too late now after two games, but at some point that enthusiasm has to be refed. It's like a fire crackling. Now, you got to throw some wood back on the fire, and that wood, you know, comes from W's. Mm-hmm. So at some point they've got to perform on the field. I think what the front office has done in terms of removing the obstacles, you know, as far as the ability to get cheap tickets, the fan enjoyment of the game, mm-hmm. Things like the prowl and the bell ceremony there at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Jacksonville, the roar, all these things that happen on game day, not including the field, but just the rest of it from a fan experience. I think the Jaguars have done a fantastic job of that, and I think the enthusiasm, you know, for Khan and Mike Mularkey and so forth coming in, I think has been good. That will not last forever. At some point, you've got to get wins.
Put something on the field.
That's the bottom line. You've got to win. You know, that's the name. That's professional football. You got to win.
Yeah, but you failed to mention the cool zone, Cole.
And the Seabest cool zones. Cool zones, plural. And you know, that's another one that. I had the chance to check it out before the game. I won't be able to check it out during games because I'm in my own cool zone, which is the air-conditioned Jaguar Central.
Well, that's nice, and that's good for you. But Gray was talking this morning about how he sat in one of the cooling chairs, and he had to get up after 20 minutes because he was freezing up.
Listen, that's going to be – we deal with a lot of weather in Jacksonville. There's no doubt about it. So to get someplace to heat up or cool down based on what the temperature is. Again, it's another step that the Jaguars have made to try to make the in-stadium experience as good as anything. And by the way, don't be fooled. The Jaguars aren't the only team dealing with battling to make the in-stadium experience something that fans will want to take part in. Every team in the National Football League is dealing with that. We just know about it more because it's happening here in Jacksonville. Brian, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Gino, Jacks Beach, up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Gino, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
good.
Gino.
What's on your mind?
Hey, I appreciate everybody's optimism, but I think it's time for a reality check. I just don't think Blaine Gabbert is the guy, you know? Put Chad Henne in there under the same offensive line, he goes 2-for-2, and I'm not saying he's a better quarterback, but he's a veteran guy. And he's able to come in and complete two passes.
Gino, what did you think of Gabbert after last week's game?
Well, you know, last week's game, it all pivoted on that long touchdown pass that got him back in the game. But prior to that, you know, he was just okay. I think he's going to be one of those guys where he's going to need to sit behind a veteran quarterback and take the time to blossom. I think he will one day, but I just think we got to get a veteran quarterback in there to be a leader. I think he's too young. I think he's a ball of nerves on the field. And I just don't see it.
I think we just lost all of our phones. All right, we've got to do a little work here. somebody kicked the cord out, I think. All right, I believe that's our phone answer. KU Kyle's going to take the heat on that one. Somebody kicked the cord. So here's what we'll do. We will we'll give you the carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Marco, what do you have for the carry of the day?
Well, MJD wasn't, you know, all he had was a couple flashes, but one particular play, 17-yard carry on a draw, really good play. You know, he got in there and ran it for a few yards. His average was up there, but consistently his runs weren't, just okay.
We still got
a ways before he's, but he had a, I would give the carry today to him on a 17-yard carry.
All right, I'll tell you what, we'll take time out, fix our phone system here. And take some calls when we get everybody back on the line as we can. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Back after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea, now just a dollar at McDonald's. Any day, any size, any time, McDonald's. I'm loving it. 800-355-NFL1. We've got things plugged back in. Linda Fortunato to the rescue. And a valuable lesson taught to young KU Kyle. It's all about a learning experience. I mean, it's like having a young quarterback here. You got to go through the fire once.
Yeah,
you
be some experience growing pains,
it. There's some growing pains. But I have confidence in him. I like his makeup. I think he prepares well. I like how he handles himself under pressure. And he's our guy.
You know, that'll
answering
be
the phone.
And that'll be the exact same thing. We'll look at Gabbert. How does he come back after not playing? Well, every quarterback is going to have days where it's just not a good day.
Kyle just called an audible, by the way. He was like Peyton Manning up on the line, giving me the four. Go to line four. Gino. Who was
back
on the line when we suddenly got hit like revolution here and it all blacked out. Gino, go like continue your thought.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, I'm not a Blaine Gabbert believer yet. You know, he had all last year to get better, and I just don't see that he's gotten any better. And I believe that.
Hang on, Gino. You said you don't think he's gotten any better from last year?
No, he's improved. He's improved, but I just don't think he's ready to be the leader of this team. You know, you got guys like RG3, Cam Newton. Those guys are ready to be a leader of a team. You got Blaine Gabbert. I think he needs to sit behind a veteran quarterback, kind of like Mark Brunell did in Green Bay, and kind of take him the game. It seems that he's just a ball of nerves out there on the field. He's such a young guy, and I just don't think he's ready.
All right, I'm not seeing the ball of nerves this year from Gabbert. Last year, I could see some of that. This year, that's not what I'm seeing. Marco, how about you?
Not this season. Last year, I haven't been impressed with him. He made steps in that regard, I think, this season so far.
Yeah. I mean, did you guys see that today?
Well, today, I think he was limited in what the coaches were doing. You know, he didn't get a lot of opportunities. It to me, they did a lot of things where they wanted him to just throw short passes. I don't think it was all about Blaine. The coaches also contributed to this. They didn't do enough things to help him be as successful as he was the week before. No chances being taken. And that's you had to attribute that to the offensive line problem.
Right. Well, just the way I see it, I just think that he does good for a little while, but the minute he does something, the minute he makes a mistake, mistakes come to follow. And my other thing is, and I'll take your comment off the air, is I'm starting to question the heart of these guys. I mean, all these guys are athletes. All these guys are the cream of the crop, and these guys can't tackle. I don't know what's going on with that.
All right, Gino, thanks for the call. And let me just say this. It's not about lack of heart for the tackling. They're not shying away from contact. If I saw guys shying away from contact, I'd say, yeah, that's a lack of heart. And we've seen that before from time to time with different teams, Marco.
Mm-hmm. When teams just shut it down, they're not doing that.
They're getting in there, making contact. There's some lack of fundamentals going on in there. Mm-hmm. There's maybe some lack of wrapping up, lack of grabbing some cloth. All these things that are being preached, that I know are being preached by Mel Tucker and the Jaguars coaches. But this team just has not shown that it's a good tackling team this year, and I'm not totally sure why that's happening. After last year, they seem to be a very good tackling team, particularly the last month of the season under Mel Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, but they went. No, I don't want to give them any excuses. You still got to tackle, but they played against two teams that do have some extraordinary offensive talent.
Adrian
to where,
Peterson,
you know, regardless of
Harvin,
what, I mean, yeah,
Arian
Foster,
regardless
of what team, what defense, they're going to have some issues with tackling. The thing that's that you get a little, you know, that kind of gets you a little, curious about what's going on is it's not gang tackling. Because with guys like Arian Foster, with Tate, with Adrian Peterson, it's not one guy that's going to bring these guys down. Everybody's got to corral them. So it's about getting off blocks and everybody corralling and getting to the ball. You just don't see a lot of that.
All right, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Jim on the west side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks. You talked about game detail phone calls and big picture phone calls, and I usually make big picture phone calls. I want to say to the Jaguars organization that, well, the Jaguars organization's job is to cause the folks in the market area to want to come to the stadium for game day. And so we have stadium experience, the concerns, and all of that. And I'm going to say that Jaguars fans, I'm sure this is true for all of the franchises, but Jaguars fans are football smart, and whether they're football smart or not, they have their money, and the Jaguars organization wants them to want to spend the money at the stadium. So what I say to the Jaguars organization, big picture, is go with the fans. I've said this season after season, the Jaguars organization has proven that they don't know football better than their fans. The fans are equal to the organization in football knowledge just by virtue of what the records of the teams
okay,
have been.
Okay,
so
Jim, boil it down. Be specific for me here. What do you mean by go with the fans?
In past issues, I mean, I don't need to open up the past examples. But whenever there's a groundswell or a grassroots swell of the fans want a certain thing, man, cater to the fans. Cater to the whim of the fans. Wet your finger, put it in the air, see which direction the wind is blowing, and go with that. Because when I've been told before, oh, you know, the organization has to make football decisions and they can't just go with the ebb and flow of the fans. Well, if you're going to overrule the fans,
Jim,
you have to go to the playoffs.
Jim,
if
can
you're
you...
not going to go to the playoffs, then cater to the fans.
Jim, listen. I appreciate you sort of dancing around this issue. The Tebow thing is done. So what other examples of what the Jaguars should be doing should they have done?
I'm talking for the next example. I guess I'm talking for whatever next example comes up.
Jim, the Jaguars fans, by and large, wanted Justin Blackmon. The Jaguars scouts like Justin Blackmon. They draft Justin Blackmon. Okay, that's happened. There is an old saying in football that, as far as football operations, if you listen to the fans, you'll be soon sitting next to them. You can't just make decisions on the football field based on a short-term popularity if it's not going to have long-term, you know, benefits.
Yeah, like you said, you made the comment about sticking your finger in the air about the wind. The wind changes just like that, and you can't do that. That's the mind state of a fan, and as a executive, you can't allow those things to steer your decisions. If you do, like you said, you probably won't have a job.
Listen, again, from a general manager, scouting, personnel department standpoint, I firmly believe you make your moves based on what you think are the best players you're bringing in that will create the best roster,
mm-hmm.
the best blend of players, maybe not an all-star team, maybe an all-star team based on your own beliefs, the situation. You bring in the best players you can to give the best product on the field.
Exactly.
Again, last year people were clamoring, we need a change, we need a change. I didn't disagree with that. Coaching change happened. Now here we go. This is, again, I know it was a terrible game today, but we're getting some of these calls of just this side of something that we saw in the Ozone, where there was a heads must roll mentality from some of the people who wrote into the Ozone on Jaguars.com after the Jaguars opening day loss. It's a long season, and more than that, this is a process about, you know, improving and winning the fans back over with what's happening on the field. I can tell you this, what Jim's talking about in terms of listening to the fans, that should happen with fan experience.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense with fan experience, and I think you've seen that. There are a lot of things that the fans really like. Hey, you can bring food into the stadium now, new this year.
There's probably no other place you can do that.
CBest Cool Zone, all right? Give you a place to cool down. People say, well, for years, why don't you just sell the leftover tickets for $20 a piece? Well, they're selling the leftover tickets for $20 a piece, you know, on the final weekend. You know, all these things, I think the Jaguars fan experience people have done a very good job of, you know, listening to the fans from that standpoint for what they want the experience to be. What happens on the field, again, is every personnel guy in the league know exactly what's right? No, because they all disagree. You know, people are disagreeing all the time. Some people want to draft this guy. Some people want to draft that guy. Sometimes a GM and his pro personnel director disagree on a guy.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. All right, it's an inexact science, but it's absolutely the wrong way to go about player acquisition by saying, you know, by putting a Facebook poll up with the fans and saying, hey, who should we draft?
That's what they spend all their time doing, and not watching fantasy football, not watching SportsCenter. These guys, that's what they do. You know, so you got to leave it up to them and just hope that they do a good job.
All right, Matt on the west side is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Matt, how you doing?
Hey, you're asking about the in-game experience or in-stadium experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was there today, and what I don't understand is in the Bud Zone, they have 99 TVs, and all of them are on either the Jaguars game or NASCAR. And usually they have all the other NFL games on, but this week, for whatever reason, they didn't have the other NFL games on. Usually they do have other NFL games on, but, you know, once or twice a year, it's just out of nowhere, they don't have them. And, you know, it's just stuff like that that kind of puzzles me. Okay. And it's a pretty big deal to a lot of people.
Listen, my question here, Matt, I want to make – it's not call in with your complaint about one thing that happened this time that usually doesn't. I'm talking from a big picture, the new things, the changes. You know,
but that's the change, though.
The
prowl. They do a good job of that, and this. And I'm just wondering if that's a one-time thing.
I don't. I've got no answer for you on that. I do know that in the CBS Cool Zone, underneath after the games, you can watch all the late games and so forth. So,
okay.
I know that's happening. I don't know the answer to you on that question.
I would prefer to watch 80%, 90% of the game in person, but it's nice to still be able to stick your head in there and keep an eye on the other games once in a while, and you know, and for the most part, I have no other complaints. But that's just one that's kind of puzzled me with this week, and hopefully they'll fix that.
What do you think of the bell ceremony?
I really didn't. I kind of caught a glance of it. Okay. I don't know exactly what it was about, so I can't really comment. But from what I heard, it seemed pretty cool.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Greg is in Tennessee. Greg, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
How you doing?
Hey there, Greg.
Good. I think all the fans need to take a deep breath. I'm up here in Tennessee, and I'm the only Jags fan in the sports bar up here. And I go every week, and I'm the only – they know me there as a Jags fan. And it's obvious today, people – we shouldn't take this as a judgment for the whole season, because obviously our offensive line was like a sieve today.
Yep.
And it was very obvious that when we get our main players back, and even Rashad Jennings and Cox and Smith – and some of the other players, it's just going to be a totally different team. And despite that, we only lost 27-7 when it should have been a lot worse. I know that sounds like a petty excuse, but it's really true. I mean, and we have a guy on the offensive line who basically they pulled the street, hadn't played, and I mean, he was on the practice squad for some other teams, but he hadn't played in about 4 years, I think, or started. So the only thing I can say negative, though, is that one of the fans brought it up on the Ozone yesterday, and it's a thing I've witnessed myself on the games with Gabbard, is that he doesn't pump fake. And Garrard didn't do this either, and he was always being batted down. And this is just something very obvious from a spectator's point of view, is that the good quarterbacks, Manning, Breeze, you know, Brett Favre in the past, always pump fake. And it just seems like something so simple that the quarterback's coach would go after. Yeah. And he got, two batted down today, and he has that happen pretty frequently.
Well, okay, and let me give a little perspective on that. First of all, J.J. Watt is the best pass block guy in the league up front.
Got arms as long as
Kevin Durant. Yeah, right. So, now, the other part of your pump fake part, the pump fake has to be in concert with a double move. And you can't do a double move if you're not throwing down the field. So that kind of all goes into that same conversation. But again, I think some of the improvement that you need to see, we saw a little bit of it last week, where you start to see some more kind of pro things that Gabbert would do, a little more of the nifty veteran things. Again, we're actually asking a 22-year-old to give some more nifty veteran things here, and it's got to be part of a process, and it's not all going to happen overnight. But I don't think you're all that far off as far as that's concerned, Greg.
Well, one more point, too, is I see in Gabbert, he's really laid back, almost too laid back today. When you see Breeze and some of these other quarterbacks, they're running up to the huddle, and they have a lot more energy, and it dictates to the rest of the team, you know, a special, you know, feeling or energy to get people going. And he looked almost too laid back, maybe because he was injured even before the hamstring today. By the way, it is a hamstring injury. I saw it on NFL.com.
Well, okay. I'll check and see.
You know.
I'll check and see. I also saw a tweet, by the way, from NFL.com, or from actually from Jason Lockhand 4, that said that Henny was in the game before he was in the game, and that the Jaguars are making a change at quarterback, and you know, without regard to the injury. So let's follow up on that and see what the actual thing is.
One thing I just want to say: I'm a true Jags fan in Tennessee, and I won't change, and I'm always going to be behind them. So
Go Jags.
All right, thank you, Greg. Appreciate the call. 800-35. Let's not all of a sudden just think that the national media has everything right about the Jaguars. I mean, we'll see. It may be a hamstring. It was, again, watching where the – hey, you guys don't mind if I do a radio show in here, do you? Thanks. What we got a busy hallway all of a sudden. Again, upper leg, whether it's the back front, it may be a hamstring. I'm not saying it's not. Point being, we'll get a much better idea, not only what it is, but more importantly, how big an injury it is, mm-hmm. how important an injury it is. Probably, if not Monday, then Wednesday when the injury report comes out. All right, let's take time out. More calls when we come back. 800-355-NFL1. When you're looking for department store style discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. We're back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio. Back on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. A couple more calls before we call it a night and look forward to a big week of broadcasting right here on the radio. Our Jaguars radio coverage, very loaded for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we'll tell you about that here in just a bit. But first, let's go to Steve in Lake Asbury. Steve, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Football guys.
Yes, sir.
I gotta tell you, everybody who's out on the ledge over Blaine Gabbert needs to take a deep breath and come back in. He's going to be fine. You know, he's got to grow a little bit, and so do we as fans. But, I was happy with the job the guys did today. You know, like you said, AFC champ contenders. Brian Anger put on a punting clinic that I enjoyed. But the
uh-oh, I think we've lost him. He was off to such a good start, and then cell tower trouble. Let's go to, is it Hags? Hags on the south side.
Yeah, Cole, Hags on the south.
Okay, I didn't know if there were, like, if we're talking, like, multiple people who would qualify as that. This is just one
Hag.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I take offense to the couple of your previous callers, recent callers that say, you know, we all need to take a breath. I've been a season holder since day one, and I can tell you right now, the fans are getting a little frustrated with the wait till next year attitude. And for them to say, hey, you need to take a breath, you know, this is, you know, a building process. It's just getting tiring, and the reason I called is the injuries. You know, I know somebody called me about hard and guys not playing with hard on the field. I don't think that's the problem.
No.
I think the problem is guys, you know, I don't know if it's the training staff, I don't know who's making these decisions, but guys got to play injured. I mean, this is the NFL. I know Marco probably played a lot of games, you know, with his eyes bulging out of his head and injuries, and, you know, you got to play injured, and we can't have freaking guys like Guy Wimper and Herb Trotnick, whatever his name is, starting on an offensive line. And, you know, it's not Blaine. Blaine looked good last week when he had the time. It's our line. I mean, it was like, you know, a jailbreak on every play just about.
Yeah, I think it's an easy thing to say, to sit back and say, you're not hurt, you need to play, when you don't have any information about that. We only have limited information from the training staff and from the head coach. What I have found is that, and what I guarantee you is that if Mike Mularkey thinks the guy's healthy enough to play and thinks he's the best option, he's going to put him in there. As any coach will.
How come we're not hearing that? I mean, we're hearing all these injuries, and we're not hearing players. I mean, the only one Fuchs Wanieri is the only one I can think of that was listed as injured and stepped up and played. All the other guys, they're saying, and some of them, they're even saying, oh, well, it's a situation where we're looking through the long season. Well, you know, what happens when we're 9-7 at the end of the year and, you know, we decided to sit a few players early in the season, you know, because of injury, and we lost games early in the season that end up costing? How many teams are just that close at the end of the year?
Yeah, listen.
It costs you.
Hags, I got to tell you, I think you're all backwards on the injury thing. A coach is not going to hold a guy out who he thinks can help him if he's healthy and ready to go. The point of it is not so much he doesn't want him to endure pain. It's if he's so hurt that either A, he won't be able to play to a level that will be as good as the backup, or B, that he has a higher risk of injury the thing and being out for an extended period of time. If you sit him for a game or three or four games rather than putting him out there, like, for instance, Daryl Smith is an example, mm-hmm. who, by the way, I think nobody who knows anything about Daryl Smith would ever question his heart. But Daryl Smith's had this lingering injury, you know, this groin injury that's been giving him a problem. And so you put him out there and he makes it worse than he's done for the year versus hold him out for two or three or four, however long it takes before he's ready to go, before he can be out there and not only be productive in that game, but be productive in the games following that. I mean, it's just...
I just think that it's a situation, I don't know if it's our training staff, maybe it's not the coaches, but maybe the doctors and the training staff are just a little too hesitant to hold guys out and say they're not available to go because they don't want to risk that injury when they, you know, and they just don't realize they're, you know, and it seems like it's been since day one, since way back in the days
Every team deals with injuries in the National Football League. Some teams, you know, have, and almost every team at some point in the year will have a particular area of the team, you know, a position group or whatnot, mm-hmm. that'll have a bunch of injuries. They'll have to deal with it. It's happened to the Jaguars very early on this year. Again, kind of conspiracy theory stuff as far as, you know, the training staff is holding these guys
injuries
back.
Are one of the things that you can count on during the course of the season. You just don't know who, when, and how many.
All right. A couple more here before we call it a night. Mike in Stark is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Mike, what's up?
Hey, not much. Lowry's tackle's the second best tackle ever on the guy that ran on the field. The best one was when the Jax Packs guy got him in that free scrimmage they had years back. That was phenomenal. Nobody else could get him but that little man, and he's still on the field today. One more thing. I think that the fan experience was awesome. We had some fresh roadkill tenderloin venison that we cooked up and brought in with us. It made it worthwhile. We didn't have to spend any money on food. It was great. But I also recommend, and Marco, you're going to know the song. It's called It's Time or We're Rocking the Planet from Hashim. I want to hear some old breakdancing music.
Hey, but you know what? If you came in a little earlier, they did. I mean, they had a double Dutch bus playing, man.
Jaguars 2, Electric Boogaloo. Here it comes.
Hey, man, it was a good atmosphere to start the game. It really was.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1. One more. Let's wrap it up with one more last call, and the magic number is 5. Jonathan is in Green Cove Springs. Jonathan, you'll be our final caller here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Awesome. How are you doing, guys?
Good.
I was at the game today. First thing, I want to give a shout-out to the Jaguars fans. We really showed up in full force. Stadium looked great. It was a great crowd. I heard it was one of the best crowds in the last 2 or 3 years, so that was awesome. Just want to touch up on I was at the game, and everybody there seemed like they agreed. They have Gabbert on such a short leash, we feel, at times whenever you got to throw the ball. You got to go downfield, take some chances. Whenever it's third and long, you cannot run the ball. This is not run, run, throw, run, run, throw, and that's what we were doing all day. You got to give him some chances. He threw a 50-yard pass in the Vikings game, and the reason I brought that up is because before the half, there was a minute and 40 seconds on the clock. The clock ran all the way down to 30 seconds. They downed the ball and took it in. Half the stadium started booing with good reason. You got to take a shot.
No. Here's why you don't take a shot there. You don't take a shot there because you haven't done anything on offense to that point. And as you know now, Gabbert actually had gotten hurt in the first half. So you've got a quarterback who's not at 100%. And you're going to get the ball to start the second half.
Well, maybe that might answer my deal about rolling him out and trying to get in. Because now I know that now knowing that he was a little – had the hamstring issue early in the game, maybe they couldn't roll him out more often like I was, you know, calling for, I guess you could say.
I agree with half of that, but half of it is you have got to make mistakes to learn. If they don't let him shoot down the field and try, and if he misses, he's not going to learn – from that. I mean, he doesn't even know what it is to shoot down the field.
The biggest thing that I really wanted to see today, Jonathan, that we didn't see, is not so much throwing the ball down the field, but maybe that would come as part of it. But what I really wanted to see was Gabbert in a little more up-tempo approach like we saw at times against Minnesota. Quicker in and out of the huddle. Maybe not necessarily no huddle, but more up-tempo. You know, get things going. The Jaguars were so bad on third down, they just, you know, there were 83 plays run by the Texans. There were 38 plays run by the Jaguars.
But to have that type of tempo, you got to have a group of people that have been together. You know, you figure you got Wimper in there, you got the guy Taylor in there. You can't do it. You know, and then you got Maurice Jones-Drew, who doesn't know everything about what's going on. So you can't have that type of tempo because you got, you know, your best running back is not really 100% not regard and in physical sense, but just in the mental sense, you know, third team backup at tackle, third team guy at the guard position, that completely disrupts your ability to be effective or call plays effectively as a coach.
Jonathan, thanks for the call. All right, we're going to call it a day. And listen, the offensive performance today, not good. Nobody would say it is. Does this mean this is what the Jaguars are this year? Chances are this is not. It's not going to be 117-yard a game offense, particularly after what we saw last week. There are some signs. Jaguars need to get healthy. It'll help to play a team that's not a Super Bowl contender, which will happen next week when the Jaguars take on the Indianapolis Colts. A 1 o'clock kickoff in Indy against Andrew Luck and company. Later this week, tomorrow, the Mike Mularkey Show. Questions for the head coach at 6 o'clock with Brian Sexton hosting. John Osher and I will be around. Jaguars reporters presented by Burger King on Tuesday at 6. And then Wednesday at 6, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Comes to you live from Latitude 30. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato producing a big time. For Ed Rocco, KU Kyle, Linda Fortunato, Marco Coleman, Cole Pepper saying good night from Jaguar Central.